I'll read from verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inherit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word now and your call to incline our ears to listen to you, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to do this now. We pray, Lord, as you tell us to cry out for wisdom here, we cry out that you would teach us through the wisdom of this word now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, so in verse 20 of Proverbs 1, we see the word wisdom again. The word wisdom, remember, in the original Hebrew language is the word for a skill. We saw this in Exodus when the Lord filled those who were doing the crafts and the making of the tabernacle. He filled them with a spirit of wisdom. That is, he gave them the skills to do those crafts needed. Well, here in Proverbs, wisdom is talking about the skill of living, being skilled in life, especially in living in a right way before the Lord, making wise choices, preventing us from unnecessary harm that we can bring upon ourselves by doing stupid and ungodly things. So in verse 20 here, we see wisdom as a voice crying out in the streets. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks. The idea there is the wisdom of God in this book is crying out to you to listen. And this is what wisdom cries out, verse 22. How long, O simple ones, or stupid ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? That is, the ones who scoff at the wisdom of God's word, those who have an unteachable spirit when it comes to being taught of the word of God, the scoffer, the one who thinks they know everything. Verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. So basically, you have two voices crying out to you here in life. You have the voice of wisdom, the wisdom of this word, and the voice of folly crying out to you to follow it. And remember, in the verses before, we saw the voice of sinners, the voice of folly trying to entice you, sinners trying to entice you to come along with them and join in with their wickedness. You see, there are two voices crying out to you, the wisdom of God's word and the folly of those who know not God. If you have been going the way of folly and you're on the road to ruin, well, verse 23 says here, if you will turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind when distress and anguish come upon you. So the idea there is those who refuse to listen and take heed to God's word are on the road to ruin. Terror, distress, anguish will eventually come upon them. You will reap what you sow, in other words. Verse 28, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. Then they will seek me diligently, but not find me. The idea there is don't leave it too late. That's the warning. Don't leave it too late to seek the Lord and to live by his word. There are many who think, I'll do this later. I'll ignore the wisdom of God for now, do my own thing, which is really following the other voice that cries out to you, the voice of folly. But they think, I'll be my own God for now. I'll decide what's right and wrong. I'll do what's right in my own eyes. But they know there's going to be consequences. And so they think, well, maybe there won't be. But I'll turn to God later. There are many professing Christians who go down the way of sin and refuse to listen to what the word of God says, thinking, well, I'll be okay, I'll just turn back later. But the idea here is for many, it will be too late. They put it off and it never happens. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Notice this is a choice. Will you follow the word of God or will you follow the voice of folly? Verse 30, they would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. They despised the correction of God's word. That's the fool right there. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Again, they reap what they sow. Don't go down that way, wisdom is crying out here. For the simple are killed by the turning away, and the complacency of fools destroy them. Notice, they are complacent. That word complacent is defined as showing smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievement. Again, it's an uncorrectable spirit there. But verse 33, but whoever listens to me, to the wisdom of God's word, which is listening to God, will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. You see, whoever follows these lessons and follows these principles in God's word will help you avoid many pitfalls. It will help you avoid doing stupid things in this life that you'll later regret. But with much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom. The Christian is to go through trials, but isn't it a blessing to know that whatever adversities you go through, that whatever happens to us in this life, we need not dread. For God has redeemed our souls and we are going to everlasting glory. Well, so it is with everyone who will take heed to the voice of the wisdom of God's word. And then in verse 2 of chapter 1 we read the words, my son. The imagery here is that of a father instructing his son, giving him wise counsel on how to live. But don't think this is just for men, though, or just for the young even. You see, this is really another illustration of the wisdom of God crying out to you to listen here and to take heed. Learn, don't go after folly. I mean, you could have used the illustration of a mother instructing a daughter or a parent their children. So don't read this in third person and think, oh, he's speaking to his son here. No, the word of God is speaking to you here. And a lot of the stuff, don't miss this as well, a lot of the stuff addressed to men in Proverbs, you can apply to, in reverse, to women. And it is universal, you see. And the stuff addressed to women, you can apply often to men. Like later in Proverbs, you have the verses about women, you know, the contentious and nagging woman. Well, they apply to men also. Well, the wisdom of God here in God's word in verse 2, it pleads to you, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, notice, treasure up my commandments, if you receive and treasure it. The thing about a treasure is, if you treasure something, then it's precious to you, isn't it? If you give someone a gift and they say, oh, I'll treasure this, it's obviously something that's special to them and they have an instant affection for. Well, this is how you must receive the word of God and its precepts is the idea, as treasure, something you treasure. Verse 2, making your ear attentive. Notice, making your responsibility to you. That is, be ready and careful to listen to wisdom and inclining your ear to understanding. So the idea here is be someone who is teachable. Be the kind of person who prays about what they hear in the word of God. Lord, help me to understand this. Lord, help me put this into practice. Verse 3, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you cry out to God, that is, if you really want this. You see, a Christian wants to understand the word of God because he or she wants to live right before God and wants to live in a way that pleases him. And so, we want to know how to do this. Here, the Christian hungers and thirsts after righteousness. That is, we long to live in a right way before the Lord. You see, we looked at this right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount when we looked at the disciple there. The importance of coming with a humble attitude to be taught. Not coming as a judge over God's word, as a scoffer, but as a disciple ready to sit at his feet and be taught of the word of God. And not being like, you know, some people when they hear a sermon, they just kind of sit there all smug and, well, that's scoffing. And we must be looking to put it into practice here, not just store up knowledge. And it's all down to seeing our need. You see, the one who doesn't seek after the word of God like this is a proud person. It shows they're not poor in spirit, but have an inflated opinion of themselves. It's pride, you see. When we see our need, if we fall into pride, we won't do this. If we see our need, we will. Verse 4, if you seek the wisdom of God's word, if you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, search for it for hidden treasure. Notice the analogy there, like seeking precious metals and hidden treasures. That is, if you value this, you see it as important to you as a Christian. And notice here in this analogy of mining and carefully searching for precious metals and hidden treasure, you must put effort into growing as a Christian. You don't put effort into coming to Christ in your salvation. He's put the effort in for that. But as far as growing, well, like he would if you were searching for other treasures you find valuable in life. You put the effort in there. People put effort into things they find valuable to them. You know, I might go to the gym, do an exercise class, jump in the pool, do a few lengths, or go out on my bike, because to be healthy, in good shape, is something that's important to me. So I'm glad to put the effort in, even when it inconveniences me sometimes. Well, physical exercise profits a little, the Bible says. There is profit in it. It profits a little. But godliness is great gain. To put the effort into spiritual growth, to know the word of God, is far more valuable. If you do this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I think of Natasha there coming over from Salford on a bike and all those nights. You see, that's seeing the need there, putting the effort in, realizing I want for spiritual growth. But you will find, if you do this, the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. That is, you will learn to have a right reverence for the Lord, to reverence him in a right way. And you'll find the knowledge of God, meaning you will come to know him more, have a better relationship with him. And of course, the more you do, the more you realize he's worthy of us seeking him first above all else. As our Lord said, this is eternal life. This is true life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. True life is knowing God through the person of Jesus Christ, and we come to know him through the wisdom of this book and putting it into practice. And then in the rest of this chapter now, from verse 6 onwards, it tells us of the benefits for all those who do this. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Notice, the Lord gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But notice earlier we're told we are to cry out for it and seek it like treasure. We're told here he gives it. You see, he gives it, but we are to cry out for it. He's ready to give it to liberally to all those who come with the right attitude, as James said. He's ready to give it to those who really want it, but not to the scoffer, you see. And many times, he gives us wisdom by the teaching of someone else. You know, we're crying out to the Lord, and we might hear a sermon, and we're told, or a book, or you know, we get help. There's many times here when, after I've preached a sermon, people will say, oh, I was talking about that text last night and wondering about the, was just asking those questions, and they really wanted to know. You see, when we're really desiring to know, the Lord helps us out, doesn't he? Verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. That is for the undivided person. The person not with an attitude of, well, shall I follow God or shall I not? It's a person walking in the integrity of his word. Verse 8, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Again, seeking and treasuring his word, the word of God like this, will guard you from doing stupid things you'll later regret. It will guard you to act in a right way. And notice over, he guards here, his saints, his holy ones. Remember, we tend to think of saints as like something the Catholic Church has made with the, you know, they've made someone a saint, an old person, and embossed their image on a stained glass window. But according to the Bible, that's not what a saint is. A saint is a holy one. All Christians, all true Christians are saints. That is, God has set them apart for himself. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And the principle in God's word that you've taken to heart will be something you'll be thankful for, pleasant. You'll be thankful for it keeping you from evil, and only wish you'd known it earlier. You know, often in times when when I'm preparing in study, I'll be thinking, this is so helpful and I can't wait to share it with the brethren. And you're marveling at the wisdom of God's word because you know how helpful it is going to be and how it's going to help you live before God better and want to praise him more. You see, this is how it is. When you find these things, it's something pleasant to you, you're thankful for. And verse 11, if you seek the word of God rightly and with a teachable spirit, verse 11, discretion will watch over you. That is, the wisdom, being attentive to it, taking it to heart, will give you good counsel in what to do. It will give you counsel for life. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. It will keep you from doing stupid things, sinful things. It will keep you being tentative and taking to heart God's word will keep you, it says, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. The idea there is it will deliver you from evil men and their paths. And it will deliver you from evil women. Verse 16 continues, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. This is the woman we'll later be warned about in Proverbs, who goes around trying to seduce everyone, acting like a harlot. The warning is stay away from women like that. But notice what the text highlights here in how she seduces with her smooth words, verse 16 says. Remember Delilah to Samson, show me the secret of your great strength. Buttering him up there, she seduced him and brought him to ruin by the flattering him with her words. You know, at some point in Proverbs, I was thinking of preaching a sermon entitled, How to Drive Your Spouse into the Arms of Another. Of course, you don't want to do that. It's a kind of a list of what not to do that people unfortunately do. But one thing I'll say here is, be careful not to be always in your marriage, not to always be critical, always finding fault, tearing down, and being slow to praise your own spouse for the good things, whilst you're often so quick to praise others for less, because someone else will eventually come along and praise them. And so you'd be setting them up to fall into the arms of someone immoral. And if you're thinking, but I don't need to do that because my spouse is a Christian. Well, if you're thinking that way, then shame on you. Because if you think, you know, your husband or wife professes to be a Christian, so that means you can take them for granted and trample over them. Well, that's what an unbeliever sometimes does. When, you know, you have two unbelievers, one gets converted, and the spouse sometimes thinks, right, I can treat them badly now because they'll put up with me. It's acting like that. which is disgraceful for a Christian. And don't forget, this verse works in reverse. Immoral guys, immoral men will flatter ladies too, telling a girl what he thinks they want to hear in order to try and lead them into sin. So beware, young girls. Don't fall for it and then later regret. Verse 17, this woman who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, she may even profess to be religious, but she doesn't show the fruit. For her house sinks down to the earth and her paths down to death, and her paths to be departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. You see, you can live, make mistakes, and then learn, but it's much better to learn first and live. Much better to learn to avoid the ruin and consequences of not following the wisdom of this book. You see, many men have been brought down by the immoral woman, brought to financial hurt, even financial ruin, brought to much emotional hurt. Many women have been led astray and brought down by immoral men. You know, this, I was talking about this on Sunday of a woman who once visited us. She lived quite far away, I think, but she told us a story that she married a man from a different country. I think it was a part of Africa, and he told her all the right things she wanted to hear. But as soon as he got her visa, he upped and left and emptied her bank account. You see, a man will tell young girls all she wants to hear in order to seduce her, and then he ups and leaves her as a single mum with an itch from a sexually transmitted disease, or worse than that, something worse he's given her, as is common with those who sleep around. You see, much better to take heed to the wisdom of this book rather than do the opposite and then realize the word of God was right later and you regret it and then have to live with all the many consequences. Verse 20, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. Not the hypocrite with an outward righteousness, but those with integrity. Those who know the eye of the Lord is upon them, and they want to please him first. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. And so, lastly here, with a promise at the end, don't leave turning to Christ too late. Take heed to the gospel, and being a Christian or isn't giving mental assent to a few basic facts, but it's turning to Christ as Lord, having him as your God, coming into his kingdom with him and his kings over you, coming under the instruction of God's word. Now, it's not your performance in it that saves you, it's all of Christ that he died upon the cross. He offers the salvation free. But there must be a turning to him. It's not like you accept this and go on and do your own thing. There must be a coming, as wisdom cries out to you here, to come under the lordship of Christ's word. So don't leave it too late. If you've been on the road to folly, if you profess and you think, well, I'll sin a little bit, I'll do this, then take heed to wisdom. Otherwise, it may be too late, or you'll face many consequences later that you'll regret. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you for the wisdom, the great wisdom of this book. What a treasure it is. I pray, Lord, that you would, again, just help us in understanding your word, coming with a right attitude so that we may live it. Help us to have an attitude in this church of being your disciples, being students of your word, of your love, putting your word into practice. May we just marvel. Help us to marvel at your promise here that if we do this and we can see, help us to see how many times where it saved us from trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.